thought the Gemara in Bava Metzia, I'll try to get back to the sugya of Masuta if that works out. I just want to mention that tomorrow Bli Neder will have a shir at 7:30, and that shir will probably be a Hashkafa Parsha shir for Toldos, and we're going to try to analyze the section and the episode of Be'eros, Yitzhak digging the Be'eros of Avram Avinu and all the sitna and all the hatred against the Be'eros, and why they tried to destroy the Be'eros and undermine them, fill them in, together with Chassidus. We'll try to introduce the Baal Shem Tov's understanding of the significance and the meaning, the deeper meaning behind these Be'eros, and what the message of the Be'eros and all the hatred against the Be'eros, what was that all about. I also want to mention, for the Tuesday night shir, we haven't been learning Pele Yoetz for a while. I would like to at least give maybe two or three more shiurim on Pele Yoetz. If we don't get a chance to do that tomorrow, because we want to do Meshech Chachma, then Bli Neder will try to do that the following Tuesday, perhaps. And that'll fill in. Now, in terms of the sugya of Masuta, let's just mention that we're talking about Shnayim Ochsim Vitalis. That's our basic sugya. And we want to know, what is the status of number one, Tkifa, and number two, the status of Hegdesh? So you have two people fighting over ownership of a mama. We have mama namutu b'safek, and one of them takes the initiative, takes the law into his own hands, so to speak, and he makes a chazaka tfisa. That's called tokaf. And the case in the Gemara is going to be Tokaf Echad Lefanenu, and then the question is, how do we deal with the shtika of the other Baldin, and then Lebesof Tzavach? Now this becomes relevant not only to the case of Tokaf in Shnayim Ochsim Vitalis, it's going to be relevant to another Sufik moment in the case of Tokaf Kohen in a Sufik Bechar. Does the Bechar belong to the Israel or to the Kohen? And the question is whether this is Peter Rechem. We don't know. She had some sort of hapola beforehand. Was it? Did that mean that she's no longer a Bechor? And then Tokaf Kohen Befanenu, and it was Shtika, and then Tzavach, and a similar discussion about Hegdesh. So we're on Daf Vav. And we really moved over to Daf Vav Amid Beis, but let's just go over the last Gemara on Daf Vav Amid Aleph at the bottom. The Gemara says the following: Tokfa echad b'faneinu motzin osa miyado, higdisha eina mekudeshes. So the case is where we're in front of Bezdin. Two people are holding on to a talis, and one of them grabs the talis in front of Bezdin from the other one's hands. You and I would say that that's totally illegitimate.
They were holding it to begin with?
They were holding it to begin with, and one now grabs onto it from the other. So therefore, it makes sense that Motzino Somiyada. You know, we go back to Yachloku. Nothing changed as a result of the Tkifa. But the Gemara says that even if you would assume that, which we're not 100% sure that that's so, but Hikdisha might be different. Why? Because once you introduce Hikdisha, then you have a Suffolk Isur. In other words, until we get Hikdisha, when we're dealing with Tokfa, then it's only Suffolk Mammon who owns this talus. But once he was Magdishit, that's going to be the case of Masuta, where one of these two people are fighting over the ownership of a Beis HaMerchatz, he got up and he was Magdishit. So then the question is, would the Hegdesh be Chal, at least the Torah Sufik?
Why?
Because
Magdish, but your Magdish, it's not Shalom.
Right. So do we say that since it's a suffix in Mammon, as we don't know who owns it, and there's at least a 50% chance that he really is a legitimate owner, therefore we have to treat it as Hekdesh, because on the tzad that he really owns it, his Hekdesh was valid. And the Gemara is going to tell us that when one of these two people was Makdish his Masuta, all the Chachamim, they were Porish, they stopped using the Masuta, they were afraid that they might violate the Isser of Me'il and Hekdesh.
Do you mind if I interrupt? I mean, it's a...
Yes, sure, please.
The case, they're both holding on in Besdin.
Right.
And then one guy grabs the whole thing from him.
Right.
So what is the suffix? It's so, the suffix, it's not his. We saw immediately that it belongs to both of them.
Right.
We have to analyze that. The fact that he grabs the rest of it is not a proof that in any way that it's his.
Right. So the Gemara says... This is a case of Shasak Ulubasov Tzova. So your question is excellent.
That what?
Shasak Ulubasov Tzova.
Oh, okay.
That initially, we'll call him Shimon just for lack of another name. Shimon was silent. And we usually have a principle called Shtika Koda, that if I take you into Bezdin and I make a claim, and in this case he dramatizes his claim by grabbing the talis, you have, so to speak, an obligation to contradict to counter my claim. In this case he was Shosei. Later on, he starts yelling and screaming, and he says, you know why I was Shosek? Because I figured Bezdin will take care of this.
Work.
So Abzera vacillates back and forth, and at this point in the sugya, the Gemara comes to no conclusion whatsoever. At this point, we'll see later on, the Gemara is going to try to prove it. So the Gemara says that on one side, Tokfa Echelufaneinu Motsiyano Somiyado, which would mean that his shtika is not considered a shtika. Meaning that we accept his amasla when he says the reason I was shosik is because I relied on Bezdin. And then we go back to square one and then we're going to split the talus. So Gemara says if that be the case, what about Hikdisha? Hikdisha, instead of Tokfa, that adds another element into the equation because now we have a Suffolk Hegdish, a Suffolk Iser Hegdish. So let's just read through the Gemara just to get the basics down. The Gemara says... Imtim Salomar on the tzad, and Reb Zera was the one who had this suffix, he was vacillating back and forth. Imtim Salomar on one side and Reb Zera suffix, Tokfa Echad Bifanein Motsino Somiyado. We're going to go back to Yachloku. Hikdisha, what's the din of Hikdisha? The Gemara says, Eina Mekudeshes. There's no Hegdish. The Hegdish is not Chal. Why? Because the Hegdish is only Chal, Mikoach. Dini Mominos, right? As you said before, he has to establish his ownership over the object, in this case over the talus. Now we're holding that Tokfa Echad Bifaneinu according to this tzad Motsiro Somiyado. We don't believe that it's his. So here too, since Hegdesh by being Magdish, it's a kind of quasi Tokfa Echad Bifaneinu, he's trying to demonstrate that he owns it, that's not going to be any more meaningful than Tokfa. And therefore the Hegdesh is not Chal. Like we have a rule in Hegdesh that's Beso. The Gemara says, Beso ma Beso v'rshusav kol v'rshusav. But here he doesn't have Rishus. He doesn't have ownership or control over the object. Then the Gemara says, but imtim tzalom etokfa echad b'faneinu ein motziyun oso miyado. If we assume that his shtika is a raya, is a hodah, and why didn't he respond when the fellow, we'll call him Reuven, grabbed it out of his hand? So Shimon Shtika is now considered a hodah. What's Hikdisha below Tokfa Mahu? The Gemara vacillates now with another suffix. Even if I assume, which is only 50% of Reb Zera's suffix, that Tokfa Echad Fenenu Emotzi No Somiyado, what did we do with the case of Hikdisha below Tokfa Mahu? And the Gemara analyzes it. Kema di Omar Mar, since we have a rule all over Shas that Amirasul Gavor, Kimisi Rasul Hedja Dobi, that if a person wants to be Makna something to Hegdish, all he needs is an Amira. So therefore, if one of these two people holding on to the talus, we'll call him Reuven, he was Magdish, that's considered like a Mesir Lehejo. So it's considered almost as if he actually physically transferred over the object to the hands of Hegdish. Is therefore the Gemara says, Kiman de Takfa Domi. And now we're going to the tzad that Tokfa is Emotzian or some of the other. So therefore, Hegdesh is also Hegdesh. O Dilma, or the Gemara says, no. Hashta Mia, Holo Tokfa. He didn't grab it. And if he didn't grab it, he didn't do that shall we say, that profound action that demonstrates ownership. He was just magdish. That's not considered like tokfa. So Gemara vacillates back and forth whether hegdisha is like tokfa, according to the tzad, that tokfa is meaningful, and emotzin or some other, or no, hegdisha is not the same as tokfa. And according to the Gemara, that now the Gemara says hegdisha is not the same as tokfa, then what we're stuck with is that a person doesn't really have possession over the object. Uksiv in the Torah says, Ish ki yakdish es beso kodesh, ma beso b'shuso, af kol b'shuso, lafuki hai, to the exclusion of this case, which la b'shuso, he doesn't have b'shus, he doesn't have the hegdish under his hands, he didn't grab it, if he grabbed it, it would be another thing. All he did was he was magdashid, and now we're saying, well, in order to be magdashid, he has to first establish that his ownership is on it, and that can only be established by tokfa. Why? Because we're holding now that tokfa does generate a shtika kod duh. However, in this case, even though he's demonstrating his ownership, because ami rosal gavok him si rosal hejik ami, the Gemara still thinks that that doesn't create a raya of shtika. And if it doesn't create a raya of shtika, then he really doesn't have possession over the object. Hence, we apply the principle of bershuso, of beso, my beso bershuso, af kol bershuso. So I'm going to read here a note here. He tries to explain this Gemara in the footnote here in the Masifta, and he says, "Medubar, the case in the Gemara is sheshosak ulubesof tzobach, vasofek hu biomdun dato." And the Gemara wants to know, does the omedato, which means the umdun of shtika, if we assume there is an umdun of shtika in the case of tokaf, which again is questionable, but if on that side that the umdun of shtika is a valid umdun, and shtika koda damya, ma dino kishe gdisha, what's the din if he was magdishit? So he asks, well, if he was magdishit, how could that hegdish even be meaningful, such that it would have generated some sort of response, or if we should expect or anticipate that he would yell and scream about it, the other guy, because ain't over shuso. So he says the following, kevon shahoda, if we assume that there is an umdana, whenever the person, whichever one it is, Reuven or Shimon, let's say Reuven, demonstrates his ownership, if we assume that is an umdun of shtika, then harei hu ka'omed hachefetz loshuv lebailov. At this point, since we validate the shtika, we're going quite to the tzad that tokfo emotzi no somiyado, then omed hachefetz loshuv lebailov. You know, it's almost like this: the object is on the move. You know, it's in limbo. It's already omed. It's already, you know, a matter of time before Bezdin is going to allow him to take possession over the object. The Kfar Oz, he says, already at this level, at this moment, harehu kipikadon biyad acherim. In other words, even though Reuven, or let's call it Shimon, okay, even though Shimon is still holding on to his talis, but since Shimon is now analyzed as shtika kodadam, he now becomes a shomer, and the object is now in his hands as a pikadam. V'yad v'pikadam v'yad acherim yochel lehakdisha. He's saying the following, that if I don't have any shaykhis to the object, it's out there in, you know, in the wild wilderness, then I can't be magdishim. It's not called beis of reshusim. But if it's in your hands and you're my shomer, you're basically in effect holding it on my behalf, and ultimately Bezdin's going to take it out of your hands if you don't offer it and return it to me, that's already called Bershuso. So the Gemara basically wants to know whether the umdana of shtika koda that applies in Tokfa should apply in Hegdesh, and if it does apply to Hegdesh, then the Hegdesh itself is Chal and there's no problem of Bershuso. Toshma. So the Gemara says, I have a raya to this suffix. Dahi Mesuta, there was a case of a beis hamerchatz. Dava mitzvu alai trei. Two people were fighting over it. Hayomer didihu, vahayomer didihu. Kom chad minai viaktisha. Parsha minayu Rav Chananya, Rav Oshia, Vakuli Rabbana. In other words, they treated it as a suffek, and they thought that maybe the hegdish is chal, and therefore you're not allowed to benefit from the merchatz, from this masuta, because it's Hegdesh. The Orale Rav Hoshia L'Rabba, And Rav Oshia wanted to know whether what they did was really justified. Did they have to be so machmir about this? So he tells Rabba, Ki azas kamei de Rav Chizda l'kafri. When you're in the presence of Rav Chizda in a place called Kafri, Boimine, ask him this question. What is the din? What's the status of this masuta when two people are fighting over it, ownership-wise? And one of them went ahead and was magdish. Do we have to really be poresh, parashim minei rabbanon, as the Gemara says, because maybe it's hegdish? And the Gemara tells us that Rabba, even before he got to Kafri, before he made it to Rav Chizda, ki also l'sura, first he got to Sura, I guess Sura was on the way to Kafri, he met with Rav Hemnuna. Rav Hemnuna and Rav Chizda were the two Gdoli Adar at that time in Bavel. So Omale Rav Hemnuna, Rav Hemnuna offers the answer to the question to Rabba, the question of Rav Oshia, even before Rabba gets a chance to ask Rav Chizda. Masnisani. It's a Mishnah in Taros. You know, as if to say he's accusing him of not knowing a Mishnah in Taros. Now, I'll tell you the honest truth, Rabbi. I don't know Taros. Eschatoy ani maskir. That's one section of the Torah that I've never gotten a chance to study. But this particular Mishnah I know only because it's quoted here above Metzia. Again, I don't test me on the Mishnah, but at least I know what the Mishnah is about. Sofek Bechoros. So we have a case where the mother gave birth to an animal, right? And we don't know she had given birth previously to something that was Sofek Ruach Tipila, Sofek Nefel Tipila. We don't know exactly what that status is. So now the second birth is a Sofek Bechar. Let me just read what he says here. He says, Bechar Behema Tahora Nitan Lekoen Vukadosh Mirechen. Kshenolat Sofek Imagia Bechar Lekoen Eloa Dinusha Motsu Mechavev Harayim. Who knows Sarbiyad Yisrael? We leave it in the hands of Yisrael. Now the Kohen is the one who wants to be Motzi, he has the burden of proof. Omnom, Kevan Shebilvad HaSofek Imu Shayach LeKohen, Yeshkam Sofek Imu Kadosh. So again, we have this overlap because it's also a dimension of Kedusha. The Asur Begiz Vavod, whatever the Bechor is Asur in until there's Pidgin, is Sofek Zed Dino LaHachmir. So it's very strange. We're not going to be able to force the Yisrael to cough up the Bechar or be poda the Bechar because Amotzi Mekhalev Araya, it's a Sofek Bechar. But on the other hand, we're going to have to treat this Bechar as if it is a Bechar, this Sofek. And the Mishnah says Echad Bechar Adam, as far as the din of pigeon Chamisha Sloim, the Echad Bechar Behema is Bein Tahorim Bein Tmeim. Okay, we'll have to see about the din of Petach Hamor and so forth and so on in the case of Tmeim, but whatever it is, Hamotzi Michavero, all of Arayo. Vitani Allah, so that's the Mishnah, and on that Mishnah there was a Braisa that says, Asurim Begizov Avodah. So the Gemara says, Vahacha, Ti Omer Tokfa Kohen, if we're going to, in the case of Tokfa Kohen, just one second. So we left that one piece here. What does it mean, Amotzi Mechavelo of Araya? So we read this note here that translates it as if to say that we leave the Bechar in the hands of the Yisrael. That's only half the picture. That's not the whole picture. The Kohen could grab it. Because Amotzi Mechavelo of Araya means that Bezdin is going to deal with it whatever situation they find themselves in, wherever it is. If it's in the hands of the Yisrael, which is probably true, then Hamotzim Chayil the Kohen is out. If on the other hand the Kohen grabs it, so then at that point we say Hamotzim Chayil of Araya, and we shift the burden of proof onto the Yisrael. Now again, what we're going to have to discuss here, and that's the subject of this Tosfos, is whether or not when the Kohen grabs it, are we talking about a case of Shasak HaYisrael of Sof Tzavach? But L'chora, Tosfos is going to try to push that's irrelevant because nobody knows the status of this Bechor. It's not as if, you know, he should have yelled and screamed. He really didn't know. But anyway, so the Gemara says the following. Talk for Kohen, if the Kohen had grabbed it out of the hands of the Yisrael, is Ein Motzi Noso Miyada. And the proof is because the Mishnah says Amotzi Mechavel of Haraya, wherever it is, who's ever hands its mukzak, he's the one who keeps the b'char. The Ketani Amotzi Mechavel of Haraya. Oh, v'chilo tokfo, if he didn't grab it, Asurim begiz of avoda. Why is that? I mean, he didn't grab it, so he has no connection, no ownership rights over this b'char. So the Gemara says, Mikan, from here we prove that we still have to deal with it as a suffix mama. So that if the b'char is in fact a b'char, Klapei Shmaya Gali, we don't know, then at this point it becomes also begiz of avoda on that side, that maybe it is Kadosh B'Kedushas b'char. And the Gemara says, therefore, in the case of Masuta, even though he wasn't tokef the Masuta, he didn't actually physically take possession over the Masuta, all he did was he was magdishit, we have now a bona fide suffix. We don't know if that hegdish is chal. Here we could add again, in the case of Masuta, that it was shasakul b'sof tzavach, right? So we go back to Reb Zera's vacillation back and forth, whether that shtika is hoda or not. So Mimela says Rav Hamnuna, again he didn't get to Rav Chizkin Kafri yet, but he got to Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna invoked this Mishnah in Taros, and he wanted to assume that this Mishnah in Taros, which says Asur, and the price that's attached Asur B'Gizma Voda, would give us an answer to the original question of Rav Oshia and the Chachamim about whether or not they were right to be Poresh from the Mesut, because one of these two people, we don't know whether he's the real owner or not, he was Magdish.
They're not the same at all. The Mishnah Taros deals with Mamash Asofik. There's no way of determining whether the animal was Kodosh or not. But here, in the ownership of the Beis HaMerchatz, check the deed. Who owns it? The Mavarir, who owns it?
Right. Right, so let's read the Gemara's answer and see if we can fit you up shot into the Gemara's answer. The Gemara might be assuming that at the end of the day we have no deeds. In other words, if we had a deed, then for sure the Hegdish would not be Chal, because Reuven is not the owner of the Masuta. But let's see the Gemara's answer. Amalei Rava. Rava turns to Rav Hamnuna and he says, I don't accept your proof. Why? Kiddushas Bechor Ka'amrit? Even if I would grant you that Tokfako Motzino Somiyoda, the halacha, this price that Asur Begizva Avodah would apply, even if his tkifa, let's say the Kohen actually grabbed it, would not be meaningful. Even if the Yisrael was Shosek or whatever it might be. Why? Because we can't establish a new muhsak based on some sort of physical, you know, power that you decided you're going to grab it out of his hand. But I feel lucky, even in that case, I would still say Asura Begizav Avoda. Why? The Kedusha Abba Me'eleha Shaini. The Kedusha's Bechor is Chal Me'eleha. We don't need a Magdish. We don't need ownership over the Bechor, over the animal. As soon as the animal is born, and if again we have a suffix, whether it's Kad Kedushas Bechor, whether it's Peter Rechem or not, it automatically on the tzad that it is a Bechor, and that's again that's a 50% chance in reality, then it's also Begiz of Avoda, it's sanctified with the Kedusha of Bechor. However, that has nothing to do with the case of Masuta. There, in the case of Masuta, we need tokva. We need some sort of possession over it in order to be magdish. And right now, nobody has possession over the merchatz. So we have to generate a kedusha. We can only generate a kedusha once a person is considered a muksak, and it's beso and it's reshuso. Then he can be magdish. But something that's not reshuso shaladim, he cannot be magdish. And therefore, in the case of Masuta, you don't have to be Porish from the Masuta, assuming that it might be Hegdesh, based on the fact that Shimon, you know, Reuven was Magdish, because Shimon's Hegdesh itself is not valid, because it's not Bershusa. And this is interesting, because when you think about it, in the case of Talis, there we said that, you know, Ami Rosal Gavokim, Si Rosal Hedger, it might be considered like he was Togef, but that's only because it's Metaltalin. You know, Metaltalin, you could say that he has a possession over the Metaltalin. But in the case of Masuta, which is Karka, nobody has Muzakus, nobody has Breshuso over the Karka, and therefore the Hegdish is not Chal. So it comes out now that according to Rabbah's final conclusion, the Rabbanan, the Rav Oshia, and Kula Rabbanan, and so forth, they didn't have to be machmir here because of the Safik, because there was no way that anyone could be magdish that Masuta and generate a Kedusha. Again, in the case of Bechor, that's a little different, because Bechor is Kedusha, Me'elov, Haba Me'elov. So I wanted to read to you two very important footnotes that he has here on the bottom in the Masifta. He says the following. According to Rashi, we don't know anybody who argues with this Rashi right now. Again, we're going to see Shita Satosis later on. But according to Rashi, Hanidon, the subject of this Bechor, that Mishnah in Taros of Bechor, who gam came b'shasak ulubesof tzavach. Rashi insists on wedging in or injecting into this sugya Bechor, where the Gemara says, well, motzi mechavel v'raya, does tkifa work or not? That's also a case of shasak ulubesof tzavach, which means that when the Kohen grabbed onto the Bechor, the Yisrael was shosek. He says, Adover tamua. He says, Rashi's pshat doesn't make much sense. This is going to lead us to Tosis's alternative pshat. Ma shayach kan hoda. How can you say shtika koda in this case? Halo shneim einam yodim in Bechor. This is an objective suffix. Nobody knows. You know, we don't have the leftovers of the first fetus, you know, the nafel to tell whether it was viable or wasn't viable. And therefore, how could it possibly be that this halacha here, shtika koda, Rashi is not justified by introducing here the old issue of takva with the shtika, and then he was shasak lebesof tzavach. That doesn't make any sense in the case of Safek Bechor. So the Pnei Yeshua wants to reinterpret Rashi. Then we'll see Tosus Pshat. He says, "Ain kavanoso sheyesh kan oda." That's not what Rashi really has in mind. Ela kevan sheshasak mitchila, since the Yisrael was shosek initially, nechsheves hatfisa kitfisa birshus. In other words, according to Pnei Yeshua, there are two categories of tfisa, of grabbing onto something in mamon. One is legal, legitimate, and the other is not legitimate. You're simply an outright thief. And he wants to suggest that Rashi's pshat is that shtika changes the nature of tfisa, transforms the tfisa from a tfisa shel gzela into a tfisa shel berushus, umo'ila vofeches es hakohen lios nechshav kimuchsa. Wow, this is the Pnei Yeshua's original idea in interpreting Rashi. Imu tofas bekoach. If he pulls it out of the other guy's hand physically, you know, the Israel is holding on to the Bechor, you know, for dear life, and the Kohen just simply yanks it out of his hand, he says, Nechsheves hatfisa kegzela ve'ena klu. It doesn't even create mukzakus here. Bezin is going to say, give it back, put it back in its original state, you're a no good thief. Why? Sharei ein lo tainis bari b'tfisa zu. It could be that there may be a case where I could grab it out of your hands against your will and I become a muksa, but that's only if I have a tainis bari. Here there's no tainis bari. The Kohen is as much confused about this as the Yisrael. But if the Yisrael was shosek, and here's the magical trick of the Pnei Yeshua, which we have to understand how this magic works, is that since the Yisrael was shosek at the time of the tkifa, that grants that upgrades the tfisa to the status of a tfisa bershus, and it's not a tfisa shel gzela, and a tfisa bershus is mo'ila lafocho sole muksak. So again, this is all built on Rashi, because Rashi introduces shtika into this equation. Shita satosvis shebe bechor v'gam b'mesuta ein hanidon mitzad shtikoso. So again, I understand what he means by bechor. I'm not sure I understand what he means by mesuta yet, but anyway. So the issue of shtika is totally irrelevant to these two cases. Ella ha'im, but rather the whole suffix revolves around the following tzir. You know, this is the point that we're vacillating about. B'mako shetkifa mo'ila, wherever tfisa is meaningful, kigon called bidin called the olam gavar. So now we get to masuta. Masuta means two people are fighting over the ownership of a masuta, and we have no muksakus. So when we have no muksakus, we don't say yachloku. We're not going to assume that there's a vadei ramai over here, therefore yei munach hashiyov elio. But rather, we're going to say kol diom gavra. Let them fight it out, which means that the halach is really legitimizing a tkifa of grabbing it. Oh, another case where tkifa is meaningful is b'safek mamon. If we have mammon that's in doubt, we don't know who owns it. V'yesh kan muhsak. If somebody is considered a muhsak. So granted that tkifa would be meaningful. Okay, now we're ready for the sofek. Ha'im, should we say the gam hegdesh moil? That since hegdesh is kivisirasol hegdesh, that's also a kind of a tfisa, and we said tfisa is enough to make a person into a muhsak. The raya sagamara hisha bechar in the habamina we think in bechar tkifa is mo'ila. The gemara eventually says no, takaf kohen is motzin also be'ila. But initially the gemara thinks that hamotzim mechavel raya, as we said before, goes in both directions, and the tkifa the kohen is meaningful. It's legitimate. It makes him into a muhsak. And now it switches the raya and the burden of proof onto the head of the Israel. Is mavur, therefore, we can understand shegam iser gizav avoda, that the iser gizav avoda is chal. Why? Because since tkifa is meaningful, therefore when he grabs onto this bechar, and now we're not going to be able to take it out of his hands, therefore it means that the animal has kedushas bechar. Again, we're not ready for the answer to the Gemara, that's already, you know, kedusha b'me'leo, but right now we think that the kedusha itself is a result of the fact that tkifa of the kohen is meaningful. And the iser gizav avoda is based on tkifa. He says, therefore, Hevina ha-gemara, the Gemara that Hamin understood, shemikoach schus momen shel kohen, hamafsheres lo litkov, we see that the possibility of his doing a tkifa reflects or represents the schus momon of the kohen. The kohen has certain monetary rights in this bechor, a right that he can be tokef it. Is mikoach schus momon shel kohen chal ha-isur. The isur gizav avoda is a reflection of the koach or the schus of the kohen to be tokef and establish his mukzakus on the bechor. The Gemara doesn't know the principle of kedusha b'me'leh. Umikan hochicha Gemara, based on this, Gemara proves shehegdesh moel, that hegdesh should be meaningful whenever yochel litkov. Right. So now we're going to the imtim tzalomar in Rav Zeira's Safek, that tokfa b'fanenu is ein motzi'in osamil, that tkifa is meaningful, that the shtika of the baldover is meaningful. And therefore, the Gemara says that if that be the case, then he should be able to be magdishit. Mm-hmm. Now, what does this have to do with Masuta? Let's just think. In the case of Kohen, I understand that since he could have a tkifa, therefore it's also begiza v'avod. It means he has a schus moment that he can be tokev. Ah, here also, in Masuta, what we're saying is that what? That since if he would grab onto the Masuta, is ein motzino sobiado, he would have a chazok, he would be muksuk on the karka of the Beis Amerchatz. Because we're going to that side in Rabbi Zera, that talk for Echad B'Faneinu is Eimot, you know, some of the other, is Vemele has a schus moment in the Masuta, and the Gemara wants to prove that just like in Bechor, where the Kohen has a schus moment to be Tofes, and Tokef the Bechor, at Eimot, so therefore the Isur Gizva Voda follows in line. The same thing should apply in Masuta, that if he has a schus to be Tokef, then he can be Magdish the Masuta, and therefore the Rabbanu were Poresh from the Masuta. Ignorance is named, there's no comparison. In the case of Bechor, since the Suffolk is an objective as soon as the Bechor is born, and that generates a Kedusha Bome Leha, that's why there's an Isur Gizav Avoda, but not so in the case where you have to be Magdish it, and you weren't Tokif it. If you had been Tokif it, maybe you could be Magdish it, because if we recognize the validity of Tekifa, then it becomes Rishuso. But you don't have a tkif here. All you did was you went ahead and you were magdishit. What gives you the schus moment to be magdishit? So although, again, there was a svar to say that he has a schus moment based on the fact that he could be tokev, and we saw that in Bechor, the Gemara says, no, Bechor, the iser gizav avod is not a result, it's not generated by a schus moment as a result of tkifa, a schus tkifa, but rather it's kedusha b'me'lel. How do you know that a person has a schus moment based on the fact that he could be tokev? And therefore he could be magdish. That we cannot prove. So the Gemara ends up without any proof whatsoever. Let's go on. Amrali Rav Chananya l'Rabba. So the Gemara now wants to bring a proof that Tfisa in the part of the Kohen would not be meaningful in Safek Bechor. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, the Misayelach. What does that mean, the Misayelach? We have a Braisa that seems to support you. Hasfekos. Again, this is Rav Shita that talk for Kohen Motzino Somiyado. Hasfekos Nichnasim Lidir Lis Aser. So we're talking about the mitzvah of Maser Behema, and the halacha is that if you have a mitzvah of, let's take pigeon petach hamor. So in the case of petach hamor, you poda the hamor onto a tle, onto a little lamb. So he has a hamor that was born in his eder, and he doesn't know if it's a bechor or if it's not a bechor. So the halacha in such a case of safek pigeon petach hamor is that he's mafresh a seh, and that's going to be mafkia the isur of the bechor on the side that it's a bechor. And since it's a safek, he doesn't have to give it over to the kohen. Now, if the Yisrael has many tloim, and they are a safek pigeon petach hamar, nichnasim ledir, he's allowed to let them into the corral together with all the other lambs that are vadai chayev in maser b'behema, lis aser. And then he lets them go out of the deer one after one by one, single file, until he finally is magdish, he declares the 10th one to be kaddish as maser b'behema. If you're going to hold that what? That talk for Kohen, ein motzi miyado, which means that the Kohen has a zchus mamon in the tle, again, because it's a safek pigeon petach hamor, is amai nichnasim ledir. So again, the Yisrael doesn't have to give over the safek, this tle, to the Kohen, but the Kohen has a zchus mamon to it, because you're holding now, ein motzi no some of the other, he has a zchus tkifa. Is that amai nichnasim ledir? You can't allow that animal that belongs to the Kohen into the deer to be included amongst the 10, because nimtza zeh poter mamono b'mamono shel Kohen. Your chiyuv is to be ma'asa yotzon. You're not allowed to use somebody else's mamon for that. And now it turns out that this tleh is a suffix whether it's included in ma'asa behema. So you're using, the Yisrael is using mamon Kohen to potter himself up from his chovas ma'aser. It must be that the Kohen doesn't have any schus moment in this tleh, which means that talk for Kohen motzino so miyado. Hence, this would be a brisa to support the shita of Rabba. Amalei Abai turns to Rav Chananya and he says, "There's no proof. Imishum ha lo tesayel amar. If you're basing yourself on this brisa, that's not a proof to support the shita of Rabba, because we could say the following: Hochav amayaskinon kigon delesle elatisha vahu. All he has is 9 animals, and this tle is number 10, and it's a suffix. And therefore, he's allowed to bring it into the deer because of a mimonavshach. The mimonavshach I barchiyu vahu. If the Yisrael is chayev, because this tleh is not really a pigeon petach hamor, and this hamor wasn't a bechor of a hamor, so he wasn't chayev in pigeon, nimtza, it comes out that he has asar tloim, and he's chayev in maser, yishaper ka maser, ve'ilav barchiyuvi, even on the tzad, that he's not chayev in maser, because in truth, the hamor was a bechor, and the tleh that was used for the pigeon belongs to the Kohen, which in fact that means that he has only 9 tloim in his deer, is tish olav barasuri ninu. 9 tloim don't lend themselves, there's no chiyuv maser, because we need at least a minimum of 10 for the chiyuv maser, and if that be the case, there's no chash when he puts the suffix back into the deer. Even if that suffix comes out number 10, you have nothing to worry about. Because if in fact that it's not his, it belongs to the Kohen, because there was a chamor, there was a bechor chamor, then the 9 other tloim are also not mechuyev maser, because he only has 9 all told. I mean, he has 10, but the 10th is now subject to the mimonashah. So mimonashah. If the 10th is in fact chayev, then he was mafrish the 10th, because he has 10 tloim that are chayev. And if the tleb actually belongs to the Kohen, so then in that case, he wasn't chayev at all in maser behem. So he's in this mimonashah situation. Hadar amar Abai lav milsehi di amre. Even though Abai himself was the one who rejected this proof of Rav Hananya, but nevertheless, he stepped backwards, so to speak, from that proof. Lav milsehi di amre. You know, whatever I told you is not correct. This is the intellectual honesty of Abai. That certainly from this price you have a proof that tokfa kohen motzien oso miyado. That the kohen has no zchus zechiyah, has no tzad of zechiyah in this suffik bechor, because if he had a tzad of zechiyah in this tleh, then even the other 9 tloim, which were suffik chiyuv maser, he would not have to be mafresh at all. Why? Because sveika lavar isurihi, because we have a principle in Maisa Behema that there's no chiyuv in a suffik. And this is based on a Mishnah in Bechoros, on Dafnun Chesam in Beis, that if a person was maser tloim, and he took them one by one, single file, out of the deer, then if before he gets to number 10, kofetz echad min haminuyim, one of the tloim that was already counted and left the deer, jumped betochan back into the other 9, so now he doesn't know which tle is manui, and if it's potur, it's kulam pturim, they're all potur. Whether it's those who were counted already went out, or even those who haven't been counted yet. Why? Because everything becomes a suffix. Any particular tle might be that one tle that jumped back in, that was kofetz echad min haminuyim. And now what we have is a suffix. And the halacha is that maser is maser vadai, velo maser sofek. Okay then, so we'll stop here. So this was a very good review of what we did yesterday.